All right, I'm ready for you now. You don't want to miss anything good, all right? So soul freedom is, you might hear it sometimes called soul competency. It's basically the belief that every person has the right and the privilege to deal with God individually, to deal with God personally. You have the right and the responsibility, without any imposition of creed or clergy or government, to make your decisions for God. Basically, this freedom states that you can relate to God on your own. You can deal with God individually. You don't need anyone else to do it for you. And what we'll talk about today is this is a right, but it's also a responsibility. So we don't have to look far to see that this idea of individual response and relation to God is all over the Bible. There are numerous passages that talk about a personal decision for and belief in Jesus as Christ and the Messiah. We're going to look at a few of those today. Jesus in his time talked repeatedly about this concept of individual responses to him. And we're going to look at one story in Matthew 16 this morning. So if you'll turn with me in Matthew 16, we're going to look specifically at verses 13 through 17. This passage comes in a point where Jesus is in the middle of teaching, he's in the middle of healing, he's feeding multitudes. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees were constantly coming to him, trying to trick him and trap him. Everyone wanted to know who Jesus was. So in Matthew 16, we see this conversation between Jesus and his disciples. So verses 13 through 17, we read this. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." So he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." And he goes on to tell Simon that he is going to be Peter, the rock, the foundation of the future church. You can almost hear this conversation happening between Jesus and the disciples. They're walking along, and Jesus is saying, "So who are people saying that I am? What are you hearing about me? Oh, some say Elijah. Some say some other prophets. Some say John the Baptist." But Jesus didn't stop there. He really wanted to know for the disciples, these guys that had been following him and walking with him and seen his heart and been involved in the miracles and the healings in ways no other people had been. Who did they think he was? Who do you say I am, guys? And I can almost feel the silence, sort of like when you ask a group of youth who wants to pray at the end of Bible study, and all of a sudden everyone is staring at the ground, and the disciples were probably a little more focused on the dust right that moment. Oh my goodness, who's going to answer him? But up steps Peter. "You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God." And Jesus affirms Peter's faithful belief by making Peter and his faith a core, a foundation of the earthly church. So Jesus asked this question that sums up this whole idea of soul freedom. Jesus recognized people saw him differently, people believed different things about him, and Jesus is not really concerned with us knowing what other people think about Jesus. He's concerned with what you think. The early beginning Baptists were really conscientious that every person had the opportunity to make their own personal statement of faith of who they thought Jesus was, not based on what their family said, not based on what their family or their pastor, their government, their friends, but who do you say that I am? Now, this idea of soul freedom is based on a few other things that I want us to pay attention to. One, soul freedom is based on the core foundational belief that each person is created and designed in the image of God. created competent and capable to make decisions on their own. Each person has a God-breathed spirit that we were created in His image, as recorded in Genesis. We were created with a divine image and given a competency to make decisions. Our free will and our choice in decisions is a gift. It's a statement from God to us saying, God made us, God loves us, we're given God's image and deemed able to make decisions. So you, each one of you, being created in God's image, gives you the ability to know and respond to God on your own. You don't need someone to go to God on your behalf. That is an incredible freedom, folks. But with that freedom comes the understanding that we are also responsible for the decisions that we make. And think about this. There are examples all over the Bible of this. Adam and Eve in the garden are given the freedom to choose to follow God's directions on what trees to eat from, and they make their own choice, and they reap the consequences of that choice. In Exodus, God gives the Ten Commandments because He believes the people have the competency to understand what they mean and follow them. They have the choice to obey or not. When the Israelites were about to enter the Promised Land, and Joshua commanded them, "Choose this day who you will serve." This would have been a meaningless statement if human beings didn't have the freedom to choose for themselves, to choose this day whom they would serve. And Jesus mirrors this as well. It's not just the Old Testament. Jesus doesn't force or coerce people to follow Him. Think about the story of the rich young ruler, where the rich young ruler knew the law, followed the law, but went away sad when he couldn't sell all he had to come follow Jesus. He made his choice. This concept of soul freedom is not just something that the early Baptist church fathers invented. It's a foundational biblical truth that they wanted to make sure all people associating with Baptist churches understood. Peter's confession of Jesus as the Messiah was born out of the Spirit of God working in his life. And in verse 17, we saw Jesus say, "This is not something I told you, Peter. You know this because of my Father. It's been revealed to you by my Father." There's a quote that I love from the book, The Four Fragile Freedoms, that we're going to put on the screen. And it's from a Baptist historian, Brownlow Hastings. And he sums up this idea of soul freedom really beautifully. So let's look at this. "It is easy for us to yield our integrity and responsibility to some accepted authority, a beloved pastor, an honored teacher, an influential book, even an edition of the Bible, respected parents, or a dynamic church. And these all have their proper role of influence, but the final choice of belief and practice must be made in the secret of the soul's naked presence before God alone." Isn't that beautiful? I may pray in corporate prayer or use a devotional prayer book, but unless their words are truly my words, I've only said my prayers. I may study the Bible under great teachers and share with devoted Christian friends, but I must finally judge what is truth. Not just because I find it agreeable to me, but because the inner witness of the Spirit convinces me. I may profit by the testimony of another's experience in the Lord, but I do not need and cannot repeat his experience. I need my own. Now, it's worth saying that in all this talk of individual freedom and individual choice, that we can run the risk of focusing on extreme individualism here with this freedom. This idea that I can do what I want because it's what I think, with no concern for other people. And that is a misuse of this freedom. That is not what is meant by soul freedom. See, Baptists also believe in the priesthood of the believers, as our pastor mentioned last week. And that basically means that each follower of Christ has the ability and the competency and the responsibility to read the Bible and interpret it for themselves and live it out under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And so if we truly live into being a priesthood of believers, we cannot forget that that essentially means we're a community of priests together. And if Jesus is our example of what true priesthood means and looks like, and if Jesus is the purest example of priesthood, sacrificing oneself for another, our faith, though it requires an individual choice, also creates and commands a responsibility to the community of faith. The Bible is not an example of individualism for itself. We were created individually, yes, given freedom and free choice, but we cannot ignore that we were created in relationship and for relationship. There are reminders of this all over the Bible. The Israelites were given the Ten Commandments as a group of people, brought out of Egypt as a group. God constantly reminded them they are His chosen people as a group. The land of Canaan was not given to one person who followed the rules, but to a whole group of people who God pursued. So we each have the ability and the responsibility to make up our own mind in our relationship with God through Christ. But that relationship calls us to invest in relationships with others, to take care of each other, to pray for each other, to be accountable to each other. We read the Bible and we relate in community, talking about our differences and experiences and striving out to live what it looks like to follow Christ together. This concept of soul freedom is not just a right that we all have, but it is our responsibility. So let's think about this. Let's follow through a little bit with this story of Peter. After he made this confession of Christ that we read about, that Jesus was the Messiah, think about the rest of his life for a minute. He later denied Jesus at his death and fled, giving no support to Jesus in his last days. This is the same Peter that we just read that said, "You are the Christ, you are the Messiah." So after Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus appeared several times to his disciples. He spent lots of time with his disciples even after he was resurrected. And one day he was having breakfast on the beach with his disciples. And I want to read this little interaction between Jesus and Peter to you. Jesus is talking with Peter. "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter's saying, "Of course I do." Again and again, Jesus asked him, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter says, "Of course, Jesus. Of course I do." Jesus tells Peter what's going to happen in his future and that Peter would face persecution and death. And then we read in John 20, verse 20 and 21, Peter says this. Peter turned and saw the disciple who Jesus loved following them. He was the one who reclined next to Jesus at the supper. So Jesus turns and sees who most scholars believe is John. When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Did Peter really mean it the first time when he said, "Jesus, you're the Messiah"? Yes. Did he mean it right then when he said, "Jesus, I love you. You know I love you. You know I love you"? Yes, he did. But Peter was still concerned with what other people were doing with Jesus. Folks, we are just like Peter. We have the right and the gift and the freedom to make our own decisions for Christ. But then we're just as concerned and sometimes more with what everyone else is doing with Jesus. If we're honest with ourselves, we have to admit that taking responsibility for ourselves is a universal human struggle. We would rather not own up to our faults, and if we do, we really don't want to be out on that limb by ourselves. This concept of soul freedom means that we each need to decide who we say Jesus is. We get to make up our own mind. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is a verse that I just love. "For it is by grace you are saved through faith. And that faith is a gift from God, not something that we get because we do incredible things to impress anyone. God is always at work speaking to each of us personally, and we have the ability and the freedom and the responsibility to choose to listen and respond. So I think we each need to spend some time with the same question that Jesus asked his disciples. Who do you say that I am? How would you answer that question? Who do you say that Jesus is? And does what we say about Jesus match what our lives say about Jesus? Because truthfully, we can say what we want to, but what speaks to others is what we live out. Do we say one thing about Jesus and then do another? And maybe you are in a place where you're not really sure about Jesus. You're not really sure what you believe about Jesus just yet. And that's an okay place to be. If you're in that place, maybe this will help you a little. For me, Jesus is God's way of showing us how much he loves all people. God is something hard for us to relate to, and Jesus is God's way of showing his love in a physical form, to live like us and be like us, to show us God's love for us. Jesus revealed God's heart for all people, a heart that loves us and wants the best for us and welcomes us when we go astray with love and forgiveness. And through Jesus, I think God shows us what is possible for our lives. Instead of being bound to sickness, Jesus offers healing. Instead of being rejected and excluded, Jesus offers welcome and inclusion. Instead of being bound by death, Jesus shows us through his resurrection that death is not the end. Nothing is stronger than God's love. Love is more powerful than hate, more powerful than fear, more powerful than death. Through Jesus, God shows us that love wins in the end. Now, does my life truly look like this every day? No. Does yours? Probably not. We kid ourselves if we think that we do, but each of us makes the choice and we answer the question, who do you say that I am? And our answer for that question is what gives us direction for living. Because we will live out what we think about God to other people. Our lives say something about God whether we intend for them to or not. We say with our lives whether we trust God or whether we don't. We say what we believe by the way that we live out a life of love towards people or a life of withholding love. We say what we believe by the way that we forgive those who hurt us or choose not to forgive. We say what we believe. We say our answer to the question, who do you say that I am, by the way that we live our lives. Jesus asks each of us, who do you say that I am?